the choir's coming down and children's church is being dismissed, if you could open up your Bibles to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1 is where we'll be this morning. How many of you enjoyed the good singing we've had already? Amen. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord in our midst today. I told you last week, if we do this, if we sing, if we preach, if we do anything without God, it's all useless. We need the Holy Spirit here this morning. So let's, as they're coming down, let's pray together, and then we'll, as you find your place in Romans 1, we'll read there. And Father, we come to you once again this morning, Lord, and we do thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place today, God. We thank you for the ministering power that He has, Lord, and I pray that just during these next few minutes, Lord, I pray that Jesus would walk up and down the aisles of this church, Lord, and I pray that you'll help those that are broken, help those that are bound up, God, help those that are down, and God, most of all, those that may be lost that don't know you, Lord, I pray that you'll convict them and show them their need for Christ today before it's eternally too late. And Lord, we do thank you for your word, and I pray today, God, that you'll just fill us with your Spirit to do your work. And Lord, we do thank you for your word. And I pray that you'll use it to change us today, Lord. And we thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Romans chapter number 1. If you can find your place in verse number 18, that's where we'll start this morning. Verse 18 of Romans 1, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And verse 21 says this, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And that's where we'll stop this morning. You know, nearly all of us have been to funerals. Nearly every funeral you go to, when the person stands up to speak, usually they say these words. They say, "I can still hear him or her saying these words to me," don't you? Because the things that people say to us, they stick with us. You know, people have sayings that they have. Hopefully, I don't know how long I'll be here. I told you the other week, maybe 50 years. But when I leave, I know there's two things that y'all remember about me. You might not remember any of the sermons that I preach, but you'll remember that I love Chick-fil-A and I just might run a lap. See, you remember sayings that people say. Every time Monica answers the phone, she says the exact same words every single time. Not, "Hey, honey," not, "Hey, sweetheart," "Hey, what are you doing?" Every time I call her, "Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing?" Every time I already know what she's going to say. I know exactly what she's going to say because we remember the things that people say. A lot of you have heard of the catcher for the Yankees. His name was Yogi Berra. Everybody remember him? He had some of the most famous sayings in all the world when he was around. Let me tell you some of them because they're great. He said, "It's like deja vu all over again." He said, "When you come to the fork in the road, just take it." He said, "A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore." This next one I like. He said, "Half the lies they tell about me ain't even true." It'll give you a minute to get those when you get home. You'll start getting them. But some of the sayings that we hear, we come to like, we come to remember. But lately I've come to, as I'm on the internet, as I'm watching TV, I've come to hear some sayings that I really don't like. I've come to hear some sayings that actually bother me. Because lately what I've been doing is, although it's going to make me mad, what I do is I watch false teachers preach the Bible on TV and on the internet. Knowing when I get done with it I'm going to be madder than fire, I still do it. It's kind of like what you do with the news. You know when you get done watching the news you're going to be mad, yet you do it anyway. I do it when I watch preachers. And they preaching this stuff and ain't got nothing to do with the Bible. They ain't got nothing to do with anything. They're false teaching. And it leaves me speechless at times. So some sayings that bother me, let me tell you a few of them that have bothered me the past few weeks. And then we'll get right into the message. And this is I quote one of them. And I quote, "God does not want you living in a small house with dirty clothes. And He doesn't want you to not have a lot of money. God wants you to have a lot of money. God wants you to have a big house and God wants you to have the nicest stuff in town, end quote. If that's the case, he didn't like his son very much, did he? Because the Son of God didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. Well, CNN, I could stop right there. But CNN had an atheist on their news station the other week. And they asked him, what's going to happen to you when you die? Very arrogantly, he looked into the camera. He said, in the unlikely event that I meet God when I die, I will ask Him, which one are you? Well, in the 100% likely event that he does meet God when he dies, he's not going to be the one asking the questions. And then he said this. He said, then I'll ask him another question. Why did you take such pains to conceal yourself and hide from us? That's what he said. But here's my topic of discussion today. This saying really bothered me. A very popular scientific atheist said this. I'm not going to mention his name because you would know him. He said this. He said, if God would just show me Himself, I would believe in Him. But I've searched everywhere. And I have not found any evidence for God. Therefore, I do not believe in a God. You know, there are atheists all around this country. And some of them work with you on your jobs. And if some of them walked up to you and said, hey, why do you believe in God? Do you know what you would say? Can I tell you what a sufficient answer is not? To say, I just do. You know what's going to get laughed at? That answer. Because when you say, why don't you believe in God? They will tell you exactly why they do not believe in God. You see, our church today has been done a disservice. Not just our church, but the church in America. It's been done a disservice. Because the church of Jesus Christ is absolutely horrendous at defending our Christian faith. You say, well, how do you know that? It's evidenced by the fact that 70% of kids that grow up in church, by the time they get to 18 years old, they go to college, they graduate college, they do not step foot in church one more time the rest of their life. 70% of them that grew up in church go off to college, and when they come back home, they never step in church one more time. You say, why is that? Because when they go to college and they go to science class, they have a scientist that's telling them, hey, that preacher that you heard all your life, you do not have to listen to him. We do not need God for the creation of the world. You did not come from Adam, you came from a monkey. And he has a very clear factual evidence to tell you how we came from monkeys, how you don't need God for all of this stuff to come together, but you need science instead of God to do it. And when the scientists stand up and tell them that, the Christians that have learned it for 18 years in church, they sit in the science class and they say, hey, well, he's got some pretty good evidence for it. And I don't know what I need to say back, so I'm just going to believe what he says instead of believing what I've been taught my entire life. You see, the scientists and the atheists know exactly how to defend their faith in evolution. And you know what? The Christian needs to know exactly how to defend their faith in a Creator God. And that's why I've come today. I know it's Mother's Day. But the church needs to not only know what they believe, they need to know why they believe it. Because that's why when they go off to college, they know what they believe, but they have no idea why they believe it. And this world is slowly shifting absolutely everything that has to do with God. So today I want to answer that man's question. He said, why did you take such pains to conceal yourself? Because that's what they say. That if God would just show me Himself, I'd believe in it. So I ask you the question today, is God hiding from us? Is God hiding? Let me answer this question, or his statement. He said, if God would just show me Himself so I could see Him with my own two eyes, I would believe in Him. And my answer to his statement would be, no, you wouldn't. Seeing God will not necessarily make you believe in God. People all throughout history have seen God and yet looked at Him and said, we don't want anything to do with you. I want you to think about this. The book of Exodus. God showed Himself to Pharaoh and the Egyptians through those 10 plagues, didn't He? Pharaoh thought that he was a god. Pharaoh thought that he was over everything. But Jehovah God came up and said, hey, let me show you, you are not God, I'm God. I'm in control of all things. I'll make the water blood. I'll send the frogs. I'll send the hail. I control the weather, not you. And Pharaoh realized that he was not God anymore and there was a God. But yet what did he say? He said, you Israelites, you get out and you take your God with you. Pharaoh said, I've seen God and I don't want anything to do with Him. What happened to the Jewish people in the wilderness? God showed Himself very clearly to them. The Bible says He led them in a cloud by day and a fire by night, didn't He? They saw very clearly God right in front of their face. And what did they do? They turned to other gods that they could build with their own hands. They said, I see God, but I'm going to turn to a different one. What happened in the New Testament? God became a man. Jesus Christ. Jesus walked around, started to raise the dead, make the blinded eyes to see, make the people who have never walked before to get up and start walking. People could look at Jesus and barely clearly see that He was God. Yet what did they do with Jesus? They looked at Him and said, we don't want you, crucify Him. See, God has shown Himself a lot of times to people. And that did not make them believe in God. So if God were to show Himself, that does not necessarily mean that everyone is going to believe in Him. Seeing God will not necessarily make you believe in God. Faith in God will make you believe in God. And you see, the Bible says faith is the evidence of things not seen. Blessed are those who have not seen Me and yet believed. So the man said, if God would just reveal Himself, I'd believe in Him. Well, not only did God reveal Himself in the past and they didn't believe in Him, but God still reveals Himself to you and me very clearly today. And today there are two main avenues that God has revealed Himself, and I hope you can read that. Number one, He's revealed Himself through natural revelation. Revelation means to reveal yourself. God reveals Himself naturally, meaning God has revealed Himself in nature, in the things around us. Secondly, God has revealed Himself through special revelation, which means He has revealed Himself in special ways, mainly through the Bible and through His Son, Christ Jesus. One man said this. He said, natural revelation includes all that God has revealed in the world around us, while special revelation includes various means He used to communicate His message. Those are the two things that I want to talk to you about, because God's not hiding. God has very clearly revealed Himself to every single person to ever walk the face of the planet. And the reason I want to preach this to you today is because we've got a lot of kids in here today. So one day they're going to go off to college. And one day that scientist is going to look at them and say, hey, those things that preacher taught to you for the past 12 to 18 years, do not listen to him. I've got the facts. So you need to know what to say to him. You need to know how to defend your faith in a Creator God. So the world says God has hidden Himself. But I want to show you very clearly this morning that God is not hiding. God has revealed Himself to you and me. I'll give you four things and we'll go get a piece of chicken. Amen. Number one, God has revealed Himself in creation. He's revealed Himself in creation. Creation is evidence for a supreme being. See, Romans chapter number one, the verses that I read to you this morning, Paul is writing to a group, church in Rome. Now, in Rome, they were composed mostly of Gentiles, which means they were non-Jewish people. And since they were non-Jewish people, it meant this. They did not have a Jewish Old Testament, which means they didn't have the Bible to look to learn about God. They didn't have the Old Testament. And yet Paul is writing to these people and says, I realize you do not have a Bible, but when it comes to knowing the God of the universe, you have no excuse. In verse 20, he says, you don't have a Bible, but you need to know God. And even though you don't have a Bible, you are without excuse from knowing God. You say, why is that? Verse 20 will tell you. For the invisible things of God are clearly seen, how? From the creation of the world. Paul says you can look up into the night sky and you see that there is a Creator God. He said creation tells you that there is a God. But verse 20 tells you, not only does creation tell you there's a God, but creation tells you two things you can know about that God. Verse 20 says you can know two things about Him. That He is eternally powerful, and that He is of a Godhead or of a divine nature. So think about that. Paul said you can look in creation and see that that God that made it is eternally powerful. He's eternal. Think about it. If somebody made the watch, the person who invented the watch, guess what he had to do? He had to exist before the watch, didn't he? The person who built this building had to exist before the building. Or the person who created this world had to exist before this world ever existed. And there is only one logical explanation to somebody who existed before all this ever existed, and that's an Almighty God. Eternal. Because He had to exist before He made it. He's powerful. All you got to do is look up and see that the God that made that is powerful. All of our technology still has not been able to make a star and go put it up in the sky. And one person that can do that. Then it says he's of a Godhead, he is of a divine nature, which means he's different than you and me. Like I just said, we're not able to do the things that all these things that we see. All of these years have gone by, all the science and all the technology still hadn't been able to do it. Because they can't. Because God's the only one that can do it. Psalm 19 says this. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." David says, when I look up into the sky, when I look up into the night sky, I can see the handiwork of an almighty God in the firmament. You say, well, how is that? Well, what is the firmament? Remember in Genesis chapter number 1, He created the firmament, which is the sky. And look what it says. God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night." God made two great lights that you know as the sun and the moon. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven. David says, when I look up into the firmament and the lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars that are in the firmament, I see the existence of God. You say, how in the world do you see the existence of God in those lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heaven? Let me tell you how. I want you to think about the order that's in them. The order that they have in those lights. The earth is 93 million miles from the sun. 93 million miles. Earth is on a 23.5 degree axis, rotating daily. When it gets around one time, that's a 24-hour day. The sun is right here. The earth is orbiting around the sun. And when it orbits one time, that's a 365-day year. The moon is orbiting around the earth. And when it gets around one time, that is your month. Do you think that two rocks could come together and burst just like that and make all of that? The order that's in creation. The seasons that we have. You see, if you and I were any closer to the sun, we would all be burnt to a crisp. If we were any further away from the sun, we would all freeze to death. Yet God put us in the exact place that we need that the sun would help us and not hurt us. But yet the scientists will tell you two rocks that I don't know where they came from. They came and they burst together. A big bang happened and it put all these things in place that you and I see today. I believe in the big bang. God said it. Bang, it happened. Amen. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe what Genesis 1 says. Because it doesn't make any sense. There's order in creation, which points to the existence of a divine God. Every painting has a painter, doesn't it? Every watch has a watchmaker. And the creation that you and I see around us has a creator, and His name is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. By Him were all things created that are visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. They were created by Him. But they'll walk up to you and say, "I can prove that we evolved from monkeys." You may have, I didn't. I came from Adam. But let me ask you this question. This is a question I'll never be able to answer. If we evolved from monkeys, why is there still monkeys around today? I'm waiting for them to grow into a human. And guess what? You ain't going to see it. In Switzerland a few hundred years ago, they were holding a council meeting. The people met together, the rulers of the country, and they met and they said, "Starting now today, everything in our country that reminds people of God, we're getting rid of it." Well, a Christian was in that council and he stood up and he said, "Well, you better start with the sun, the moon, and the stars because they are an eternal reminder of God. You'll never be able to wipe that out." You see, creation gives us the knowledge of a creator God. God's not hiding. He's revealed Himself in creation. But you know what creation cannot do? It can't give you the gospel. You can't look up into the sky and see that that God that made that loves you. You cannot see that that God that made that sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you. The sky will not tell you that. You see, natural revelation is God revealing Himself through nature. In order for you and I to be saved, we need God to reveal Himself in special revelation to you and me. And that's where special revelation falls in. Number one, God is not hiding. He's revealed Himself in creation. But number two, He's revealed Himself in the canon. You say, what's the canon? The canon is the 66 books of the Bible that I hold in my hand this morning. That's the canon, the 66 books of the Bible. Now, we have Paul's two letters to the Corinthians, but it's evidence that Paul has wrote four letters to the Corinthians, yet we only have two of them. You say, well, why is only two of them in the Bible? Because they are the only ones that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, canon is the 66 books of the Bible that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. You say, what makes this book different than any other book on the face of the earth? Well, the other writings on the face of the earth are man's words. This Bible that I hold in my hand is not man's idea, it is God's idea. It's not man's words, it's God's words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The prophecy of old time came not by the will of man, but holy man spake as the Holy Ghost moved upon them. The Holy Spirit of God moved on holy men and they made the Holy Bible. You say, how do I know that this is God's Word? Test it out and see. Do exactly what it tells you to do and see if it comes to pass what He said it would come to pass. I've got hundreds of books in my library, but there still has not been one book on the face of the planet that has changed my life like this Bible that I hold in my hand. Because you can test it out and it does what it says every single time. See, creation tells us that there is a Creator God, but this Bible that I hold in my hand tells us a lot more about that Creator God. You see, it tells us that that Creator God is holy. It tells us that that Creator God is just. It tells us that He is righteous. It tells us that He is love. It tells us that He is light. It tells us that He cannot change. It tells us that He cannot sin. And He told us that He had a son named Jesus one day who came, who was born of a virgin, who lived a perfect life, who one day walked up Calvary's hill and died on the cross for you and me. And 3 days later, He got up. The Bible tells us that at Calvary, Jesus is forgiving. In Bethlehem, Jesus is giving. But at the resurrection, Jesus is living. The Bible tells us all these things about God. You won't see Him in creation, but we learn a whole lot more about God and His holy Word. The Bible tells us what God's like. Creation tells you that there is a God, but you need the Bible to find out what that God is like. And it tells us exactly what that God is like. And I sure am thankful for the God He is. That He's a merciful, gracious, long-suffering God to you and me. And you can only know that through the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. God made His gospel to us known through His Word. He's not hiding. He revealed Himself clearly to us in His Bible. Now that raises the question to us. Can a man be saved if he's never heard the gospel? Can a man be saved? People live in the remotest parts of the earth right now, and the gospel still hadn't reached them. We've reached a lot of people with the gospel throughout the world, but there are still places on the face of the earth that have not been reached with that Bible, with the gospel of Christ. So when they die, are they going to get a free pass to heaven just because they've never heard it? No. No, they're not. You say, why is that? Because God said, take the gospel unto all the world. Jesus said that. He said, take the gospel into all the world that they might hear, that they might have an opportunity to call upon me. See, if they didn't hear and they could get to go to heaven, don't you think Jesus would say, stop taking it? It would make sense for us to not tell the people the gospel if they didn't hear it and got to go to heaven. You see what I'm saying? Unless people hear the gospel and respond to it by faith in Jesus Christ, there's no other way to heaven. God is not going to give them a free pass just because they did not get to hear the gospel. You say, that's not fair. We don't want fair. What's fair is for us to die and go to hell. We get grace. And what we need to do is fall on our knees every day and say, thank the Lord that I am born in America. I've been raised in a place where I can hear the gospel. You see, God's revealed Himself in creation. He's revealed Himself through the canon in the Bible. But thirdly, He's revealed Himself in Christ. He's revealed Himself in Christ. You see, the Bible says that God is invisible. He's a spirit. You and I can't see Him. 1 Timothy 1:7 says this. It says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. You see, all you got to do is turn on the TV. And all these people laugh at us Christians because they say, hold on, you believe in a God that you've never even seen? At least I believe something that I can see with my own two eyes every day. They say, you Christians are foolish. believing in a God that you cannot see. Well, what they fail to remember is that that God that was invisible about 2,000 years ago came to the earth and became very, very visible. And He revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this may make some of you mad, but that's all right. If any of you seen the movie The Shack, or the book The Shack, you may think it's a good book, it might be a good movie. That's fine. I'm not here to tell you that. What I'm here to tell you is they portray God Almighty as an old, rotund woman. You say, that's harmless. It might be harmless to you and me, but it's harmful to the next generation. Because what they're trying to do is say, hey, you can make God into whoever you want Him to be. You can make God into whomever you want Him to be. Whatever you want Him to be, there He is. However you want Him to be like, there He is. Make Him whoever you want to be. There's a song that's going around on your radio today, very popular amongst the high schoolers and the middle schoolers, that says, God is a woman. God's not a woman. God came to the earth and He was not a woman. He was very clearly a man in human flesh, yet fully God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And what I'm trying to do today is to get you to realize the times that's going on the outside. And what they're trying to teach going around this earth today to your kids at school. That you can make God into whomever you want Him or she to be. And I tell you something, there ain't no way it can be much longer before Jesus comes back. It's always been bad in the world. But now it's getting into the church. And Jesus said, that's exactly the time that I'm going to come back. When they start turning away from Me, not in the world, but in the church house. And that's exactly what's beginning to happen. The Bible says that God revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus looked at Philip and He said, He who hath seen Me hath seen the Father. God revealed Himself not only through the creation, not only through your Bible that you hold in your hands, but through His Son, Jesus Christ. Fourthly, and I'll be done, God's not only revealed Himself in the creation and the canon in Christ, but He's revealed Himself in your conscience. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He said, it is manifest in them. How is the knowledge of God in us? Because God has given every single person on the planet earth what is known as a conscience. A conscience. And you know what your conscience does? It tells you right from wrong. Now, people have seared their conscience with a hot iron that they no longer know what right and wrong is. That's why Hitler did all that to the Jews, because they continued to go wrong and never turned back to the right. That's why you see all these murderers go the way that they're going, because they do have a conscience, but it's been seared with a hot iron because they never go back to what is right. You see, every single person on planet Earth has a conscience, and they can know right from wrong. Before they ever know the law, before they ever know TV, before they're ever learned by their parents, they know right from wrong. And who do you think put that there? The person who made you, the Creator God. You see, because God is a moral God, He's made us moral beings to know right from wrong. And I want you to think about this. If there is no God, who determines right from wrong? If there is no God, who determines right from wrong? You see, on TV, half of the people do not believe in God in Hollywood. Half of the people that make these shows do not believe in God. But guess what they still do on TV? They bleep out cuss words, don't they? Guess what they still do on TV? They cover all of the nudity, not some of it. Well, some of it now. Why do you do that? If there's no right from wrong. You see, people that don't even know God, they know right from wrong. Therefore, that is the proof of the existence of somebody that's put that on the inside of you. Before you ever go to school, learn about it from your parents, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Because the God that made you is a moral God that has right over here, wrong over here, with no middle ground in the middle. Your conscience reveals to you that there is a God in heaven. See, God's not hiding from you and me. When they tell you that at school, He's not hiding. But the Bible says, their eyes have been blinded by the God of this world. And although they've looked up and can look up into the sky and say, wonder how all that got there. The Bible says they look at the truth of it and they suppress it and they hold it and they say, I know the truth, but I don't want it. And you see, today, I've just told you through Scripture, through all these things, God's not hiding. God has revealed Himself. And when God revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ, He came and He died for our sins. And you know what blows my mind as I was studying this week? I hope you realize today, just by going through this, about how big God is, how awesome God is, how incomprehensible God is. But yet I got in there and I got to thinking that a God like that wants to have a relationship with me. Somebody who's been here and who'll be here long after me. He wants me. And you know those people that have walked, that are walking around today and say, I do not want anything to do with God. You know what God says? I still want something to do with you if you'll just turn to me. And you may be here and you say, I don't want anything to do with God, nor the church, nor anything to do with God. But can I say this? God still wants something to do with you. If He didn't, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die in your place. And today, if you've never accepted Him, come down here and I'll show you through this Bible that He's preserved for us how you can know today you have eternal life. Musicians, you can come forth. Father, we do thank You this morning for Your Word, Lord, that tells us about who You are. Lord, every night as we look up into the night sky, I pray that You'll help us, God, to, as we look up, just to thank You, God, for the beauty, for the wonder, and for the order that You've put in creation, God, that we can look up and see that all that stuff just didn't come together. But it was a God who ordered it. It was an intelligent God. A powerful God, an awesome God. But God, I'm thankful through Your Word You tell us about how much You love us. How much You went through that we might have eternal life. And God, I pray for those people in here today. If they've never trusted in You, God, today might be the day. And God, I do pray for our world that's turned away from You. God, I pray that You'll give us Christians a heart's desire that they might be saved. And God, take the Word of God to them. And we do thank You, Lord, for all You've done. I pray You'll have Your will and Your way in this invitation. Well, for all of it, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.